Today we're going to do Ben Sorer Umorit, which is a fascinating and well-known and important issue that touches on the trifecta, the holy trinity of parenting, values of life, and tshuva, which is perfect
for...
Honorable mention in the Underdos SMS song?
Yes. They asked the question, if Ben Sorer Umorit doesn't exist anymore, then who ate all the pireh?
Okay, whatever. I like the SMS song, and my kids know it by heart, but I don't know.
Maria knows it by heart.
Maria knows it by heart. Okay, so turn to...
Me neither.
Oh, my goodness.
I should, when you start listening to it, you're going to say, oh, I have the pinkies.
The SMS song? Yes, you have. We'll play it for you afterwards. Okay. Perek Kaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet. Very short section in the Torah, but it's laden with philosophical issues on the one hand. It's called the Ben Sorer Umorit, the wayward and rebellious son. Okay, so and also it's a whole chapter in Masechet Sanhedrin. It's brought down in Halacha, very interestingly. Okay, and we're going to see what the Gemara says about it as well. Perek Kaf Aleph, chapter 21, pasuk Yud Chet. Ki yele ish Ben Sorer Umorit. Einenu shomea b'kol aviv u'b'kol imo v'yisuroto v'lo yishma aleihem. Okay, if a person should have a son who is sorer umore. Sorer?
He doesn't listen to the voice of his father.
Doesn't listen, well, if you are reading the translation?
Well, no, those are the next few words.
That's right.
If that's it, we all have that.
Wayward and rebellious.
Here we go. Wayward and rebellious.
Sorer like means turns away.
Correct. Sar means haderes. Off the path.
Sor me rava se
tov. Very good. Right. Sorer is sor. Off the path. Off the derech, we call them. That's what we got from. It's more. What's the word more mean? It could mean a lot of different things. What does, let's look at Rashi for a second. Sorer, sar means haderech. That's Rashi exactly. More. Misarev midivrei aviv. Misarev. What is misarev?
He refuses
the words of his father. Lashon mamrim. Moreh okay. From mamrim. What are mamrim?
Rebels.
Rebels. Rebellious. Okay. Moreh. There's a little mem missing.
Shimunah hamorim.
No, not mar.
1 minute. Shimunah hamorim. Listen, you rebellious ones.
Morim is not mamrim. Morim is mamrim.
It's not marim. It's morim. Shimunah hamorim. Listen, you rebels.
Okay. Good. Very good. Okay. Zolel. Oh, sorry. 1 second. Enu. Wait, where we are? Enenu shomea b'kol aviv b'kol imo v'yisruoto. He doesn't listen to the voice of his father and his mother. V'yisru oto.
They put him in jail.
Why do you say put him in jail?
But they afflict him.
They afflict him. Okay, they afflict him. V'lo yishma aleihem.
They beat him.
Well, right. Yisru oto means...
They punish him.
And doesn't listen to them. Then, v'tafsu obo aviv v'imo. His mother and his father grab him. V'hotziu oto el ziknei iro ve'al shar mekomo. And they take him out to the elders of the place... Shar HaMakom, what does Shar refer to? Very famous? The Shar HaIr, what does Shar always mean? What's that? Correct, the gates of the city always refer to the Beit Din. Okay, when it says Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech, it doesn't mean Mordechai was the gate man in Old Town Shushan. Mordechai was in the courts. He was a major figure in the judicial system, even in Shushan. Okay, the B'Shar HaMelech always means that. So they bring him to the Shar HaMakomo. They say to the elders, "Binenu ze sorer umore, einenu shomea bekolenu zolel v'sove." They say, "Ours, this child is rebellious, bitter, and devious. He's not listening to us."
Not bitter, rebellious.
Sorer,
no.
Off the path.
More. I don't think it's bitter. It's just rebellious.
Rebellious. Einenu shomea bekolenu, doesn't listen to our voice. Zolel v'sove.
He scorns.
Zolel. V'sove.
Gluttonous.
Gluttonous filled with.
V'sove with a samach, not with a sin. Sove.
Yeah,
very hard to understand. What?
Yeah, it says, and a guzzler.
And a guzzler, right. A glutton and a guzzler.
Look at the meat and wine.
Right. Look at Ebenezer for a second. Okay, all of this, they're hard words to translate. Zolel mifurash v'hu zolel basar. He's a glutton for meat. Rak hushem klal menoten b'chol ma she'itave kol ma she'ivukash mimenu. A glutton means everything he wants, anything he desires, that's what he eats. Sove marbe lishtot v'hu mishtaker. Okay, he drinks a lot until he gets drunk. Continues. V'hine zekimo apikoros. I mean, I'll be even as if you have it. He's like an apikoros. Ki lo yivakesh chaye olam hazeh ki im lihitaneg mikol minei ma'achal u'mishte. He's an apikoros because he wants to benefit from all types of gluttonous food and drink. This young boy, all he does is eat and drink. He likes meat. He drinks wine. And he's like an apikoros. A little harsh, don't you think? Okay. So what do we do with this rebellious child who eats meat and drinks wine? Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Urgamuhu kol anshe iro ba'avanim v'meit uviyarta hara mikir becha b'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yirahu. All of the men of his city shall stone him with rocks and he shall die, and you shall blot out the evil from your midst, and all of Israel will hear v'yirahu and will fear. What would he do to this young boy?
Destroy him.
We stone him to death. Okay? Everyone good? Let's go on. No one wants to say it? Say what you're thinking.
Sounds extreme.
It's a bit extreme.
Yeah, what?
When you say young boy, what does that really mean? Like, in terms of what age? Are you related to multiple times? Like, if you have a teenager who's off there, you deal with him differently than if you had a couple of years and then you're 20.
That's right. Maybe we're all wrong about off the derech. If we just killed a couple, and then everybody would be fine. What? No? Why don't we think of that? What's that? I'm sorry.
I think it's a great idea if somebody else's children.
Oh, it's a great
idea. For example, let my children marry. But I think it's my children, and I don't
want. Are you happy to kill the other guy's kids?
No, not one of these guys.
Okay, we have to deal with the obvious, how should we say, philosophical challenges with what's going on. And we're not the first to discover these philosophical challenges. They're classic challenges. First, let's define terms. Let's understand. Fascinatingly enough, these are halachot that are brought down. It's brought down in the Mishnah. So it's a whole chapter in Sanhedrin, Perakat. Okay. Me'ematai na'aseh ben sorer u'moreh. When does the child become ben sorer u'moreh? Mishevi shtei sa'arot v'ad she'akiv ha'zakan ha'tachton. Meaning, from the time that the child has shtei sa'arot to pubic hairs, from the time just the age of na'arut, from the time the child reaches puberty, until he matures totally. Okay?
In other words, the age in which this kind of behavior is very, it's very expected.
But it's a very limited period of time. How long is the period from right before the son reaches puberty until, like, at the very moment of puberty, until the child reaches maturity?
7, 8 years?
No. Much less. Much less.
Less?
Yeah, physical maturity. Not maturity like, oh, he's 22 and now he's mature. Right? From the age of Shtei Sa'arot, that's the, right?
What age is that?
12
to 10. No, it's age Na'arot. Right, it's much, 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 much tighter. It's really, in the from what I remember in the times of Chazal, one second. He has to be 13, bar mitzvah. Okay? It's about a 6-month period of time, until the age of, right, until the child is physically mature. Like, you know what I'm saying? Until the boy is. How long does it take? Until, you know, that process. What's that?
40? 6 months?
A month? No, it doesn't have 40 years. I don't know.
No, I'm saying it's more than 6 months. 7 years.
Think so?
2 years.
Yeah.
1 second.
I
can't.
I would say 3 years.
Minimum. The Gemara says, I knew everything. Call Yamav ela 3 months. That's how long you have to turn this for this child to develop into ben sorer u'moreh. Good. Okay. Me'ei matai chayav. I'll read you some more Mishnayot. From when he's chayav. Mishiyochal tarteimar basar b'yishtech chatzi log yayin ha'italki. He has to eat like
massive amount
of meat and drink a massive quantity of...
I don't No.
Italian wine, old wine. What?
I was going to say meat. I thought that was all teenagers. They want a lot of meat.
Yeah.
It seems unfair.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. All they wanted to do was all they wanted to
do. That could be a grub thing. They could have grub food during that time.
So,
all
we have
to do is eat.
What?
All they want to do is eat.
All they want to do is eat meat?
They have a grub spoon, though.
I wouldn't say about the wine.
And it's
but
hormonal.
About the, definitely.
They're
meat.
Presented suddenly with the Yetzer Hara for physical things and like food. And they're giving into the Yetzer Hara because they don't yet know how to control this Yetzer Hara.
Okay, good.
I'm 43 and I don't just say Carlos.
Let's look at Rashi. We start with the first Rashi. Rashi on Pasuk Yudchet. V'yithru oto. So Rashi takes us through V'yithru oto. So we're going to read the Rashi and read the Midrashim, and then there's obviously what to discuss here. Let's not, it's also important for us, this is, the idea of Ben Sora Amore, the idea of executing a child, is so, a young child, 13 years old, just reaching the age of maturity, is totally foreign to us.
So disturbing.
Right, it's totally foreign to us. Hold on, we'll see in 1 second. We'll see in a second what the story is. What the halacha, what the how Chazal described it. But again, when we come into things in the Torah that are totally contradictory to our values, to the values, seems just so strange to us. So then we have to ask ourselves, well, if it's strange to me, what if two things is happening here? Well, the Torah is off the wall, chas v'shalom, and it's not for me to relate to, and we have to reinterpret it in some way. Or I've got to reevaluate, I have to reassess and try to understand, either take it literally and then I'm way off and I have to reassess my value system, and that does happen sometimes, where Western values and the values that we're surrounded by are totally different than the Torah values, and the Torah is not compromising. The other option is we have to see that it's not exactly the way it seems in the Torah, but there's something for us to learn from here. Well, they're just not listening.
You just want to kill them. That never happened to anyone else.
No. It's only boys, by the way, notice. It says Ben Velo Bat. It's explicit in Chazal, Ben Velo Bat.
What does that mean, though?
So, boy, not girl. You wouldn't put the girl to death.
Stoned to death.
Yeah.
I've heard that is the girls get stoned to death for being promiscuous.
Ah. Very well said.
Black culture. So then we think about, well, why?
Said Chazal, I'm quoting from the Yalkut Shimoni. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Bidinu shtei bat uya liyot kiben sorer morim. It's Bidin, logically, would make sense to us in their way of thinking, in their time especially. Shako mitsuyin etzla ba'avera, because if a girl is promiscuous, then she's the one encouraging the men. Elag zera takatuv hu ben velo bat. Right? It's not about that. It's not about that. You know, these honor killings. These honor killings are antithetical to the way of the Torah. They're antithetical. If a woman acts, first of all, the girl is single and she acts promiscuously, right? That's a bad thing, but it's not, it's, she didn't violate any Torah laws. When does the Torah get involved in people's promiscuity? When they're married. When the value, what? When she's married. Everything is married. When she's married, not engaged.
She's committed to halakhically to a specific individual man.
When she is married. I don't know. Everybody didn't understand what Rina was saying? Right? In the Torah, there's two parts of marriage. Erusin and Nisuin. Today, we squinch it all together under the chuppah. We do it all at once. Way back when, they would go get together, they would do Erusin, they would marry, literal marry. Hariyah Mekudeshali, you would give her the thing. Then they would separate for another year and do all the stuff to build the house, to get the household ready. That is not marriage whatsoever. It has halachic significance, it's a commitment. Tanaim is a shtar. The reason they do the Tanaim is what happened was, what would happen is, like, to prepare a wedding, to get married, once the Erusin and the Kedushin came together, the reason they did this is a very simple reason. Right? It's a tremendous financial outlay in order to build a house, in order to A, make the wedding party, and also they would have to, you know, buy them all the stuff, make an apartment. So let's say you put out all that money, and then all of a sudden the family said, not interested. Okay, we got to break it off for whatever reason. So
it's on a
the Erusin, they were now married together, so that wouldn't happen. But once we squished it all together and make it one thing, so then family said, well, how do I know that you're not gonna leave me high and dry when I make this wedding? So the Tanaim are literally, Tanaim is all it is a financial document saying we commit to pay for XYZ when our children would get married. That's what real Tanaim are. Today, real Tanaim don't even happen. In America, in Chutzlaritz, when they do Tanaim,
they happen here in Haredi community.
Here in Israel, in Haredi community, they do happen. In Chutzlaritz, when we do Tanaim at the wedding, right, it's a meaningless, absolute meaningless document that signed and said, we're here, and they're getting married today. Let's break the plate. Mazel tov. That's really all it says, I promise. Which is why in Israeli weddings, they don't even do it. They don't do it at all. There's no.
At an engagement party, then it has Haredim do it.
Very rarely do they actually do real Tanaim.
Yeah, they do break.
Yeah, why? Why do they break the plate?
Have a piece.
What? Yeah, it's fun, whatever. Right. Right.
We had it. So the problem.
At the wedding?
An engagement.
Okay.
It's a commitment the two families are working towards preparing a home. But it wasn't quite.
Did you sign a document?
No.
Ah, okay.
Uh-huh.
So the idea, the original Tanaim.
It was about the commitment for it, though. The Rav spoke both of us and both of our parents.
What commitment did you make? At the Tanaim?
To get married.
You did? They asked you, they said, you now, your family make a commitment to you. They asked you?
Did you write anything?
Did you write anything or sign anything?
No, right. We're doing the process, but we're not signing the book.
You did it anyway. That's good. Okay.
But I don't think you've had to be pulled out of it from the engagement.
Yeah,
girl being promiscuous. So he says, but if a single girl is promiscuous, there's no din in the Torah like there's no such thing. There's no idea. The only time the Beit Din, the courts, the people get involved is when there's a violation of marriage, of the sanctity of marriage. And then we can discuss it at another time, Beit Din gets involved. So that's what the Gemara says. Bedinu shtei bat uya. You would think that just like a girl, if she's promiscuous, she should also be subject to this. It's not true. Ben velo bat, gzeirat hakatuv. Yeah.
Can we ever do this?
Stone boy. Ah! Hold on a second. Excellent question. Excellent question. It's a machloket. Let's go back to Rashi. The yisru oto. So what's the process? What happens? Says Rashi on Yudchet. Matrin bo bifnei shlosha. You warn him in front of three. Three means not witnesses. Once, anytime you say three, two is witnesses. Three, Beit Din. Umalkin oto. And then you give him malkut. Yisru oto means?
Like any person who violates.
Right. It's a process. There's no other that I'm aware of process where you ramp it up. First we give you malkut and then we kill you for the same thing. It doesn't exist. Right? If you get malkut, lashes in the Torah, it's because you did violate it a lot. You ate non-kosher, they warned you not to eat non-kosher, and you ate it, and you said, I want this bacon double cheeseburger, I'm having it, I don't care, we're going to punish you. And you say, I don't care, I need it, and I'm eating it. And you eat it, and then they take you to Beit Din, and then they give you malkut. If you do it again, what do they give you?
Malkut.
No, they give you malkut. There's no bumping up, you do it again, we're going to kill you. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, whatever, however many times you do it, that's how many malkut you get. There's no, well, number five, you know, now we're going to get you. It doesn't work that way. This is one of the only time that I can think of. Okay? Ben sorer umore. Eino chayav. He's not chayav. Ad shi yignov. He steals. Who does he steal from? Anybody know? He steals from his parents. Ve'yochal tartemar basar. And he eats this quantity of meat.
Who are you reading now?
Rashi? I'm reading Rashi. Ve'yishte chatzi log yayin. And he drinks this wine. Shene'emar zolel v'soved. As it says later on, the parents come to Beit Din and say he is a glutton and a drunkard and a drinker. Vene emar, and it says in Mishle, al tehi b'so'ave yayin b'zolalei basar lamo. Shouldn't be that guy. Don't be the drinker, don't be the drunk glutton. Wait, let's finish Rashi. Let's finish Rashi. Uben sorer umoreh neherag al shem sofo. So you say, so what? So he drank something. So what? So he stole from his father. He is not killed for what he did. He is killed for what he will do, for his end. Higia Torah l'sof da'ato. The Torah arrived at his ultimate da'ato, his ultimate conclusion. Sof, in the end, Shemechaleh Mamon Aviv. What happens when his father runs out of money? Umevakesh Limudo Ve'eno Motze. And he seeks Limudo. Anybody want to help me here?
To maintain his habit.
To maintain his habit. Thank you. Sounds very much familiar, doesn't it? And we could translate this today easily. Ve'omeg Parshat Derachim, and he stands at the crossroads, and he stands on the road. Umelastem Et Abriot. Then he begins to rob people. And when he robs people, what's he going to do ultimately? He's going to kill them. Okay. Amrat Torah, says the Torah, Yamut Zakai Ve'al Yamut Chayav. Better for him to die zakai, innocent, rather than he should die guilty. Wow. Okay, Laura.
So disturbing.
It's impossible. I mean, anyone.
Well, I'm saying we're reading it in Rashi.
Anyone can do tshuva.
What about
any
that?
Any point in their lives. Tomorrow you can do tshuva and say, oh my God, I need to pay my. How do we
reconcile?
Anybody ever see that movie? What's that movie? The Tom Cruise movie? With the balls and see the future.
Minority Report.
Minority Report. Remember that? You ever see that movie? Where like he's predicting the future and like, how can you do it? And they don't know. What? No, it's right out of the Chumash. I should have started with that. That's great. I didn't do anything. But you were going to. Yeah, that's what you said.
That's very scary.
It's disturbing.
Well, except it depends what you look at it. And if you look at it from a literal perspective, it's very disturbing. But if you look at it from an addictive perspective, the whole point is it's an illness and that you don't have control. So you know that if somebody's going down that path, then ultimately they don't have the free will, they don't have the free choice to turn that life around and make the right decision.
What do we believe everybody does?
The problem is that you're talking about other people putting in a structure and a system to enable them to be able to relieve themselves from that, and they don't actually relieve themselves from it. They find a coping mechanism to do so.
And then there's only one
day at a time, and it's literally within the mantra. Sorry, but.
No, we were talking about.
Wait, so you're in favor of killing them?
No. Yes. Yes. I'm not going to lie. I have a thought. It's not her son. And when we were talking about this, the very first few seconds, and I didn't know where it was going to go, I was thinking of that person. And actually, to relieve the stress and the pressure and the difficulty of everybody else, yes, I think they should. If their actions had been stopped, then everybody else's life would be different.
Okay.
But that's harsh.
So first, it's very harsh. It's very harsh.
And also, you don't know who's the person that's going to come out of it. I mean, there are stories of people that have gone through bad times. And I mean, we had an addict at our school today. He runs a rehabilitation clinic. But who knows which direction they're going to
go? Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question.
That wasn't even around 300 years ago. Let's go 1,000 years.
Yeah, but until they get to the point, what kind of damage are they going to do to the people around them?
Oh, okay. First question.
That's what I'm saying.
Let me ask you a question. If you would ask, I don't know if you have any social workers here. Odds are, if I have 100 addicts, okay, 100 addicts who are criminal, who are, you know what I'm saying? They've already ran out of money. They're now living on the streets, willing to rob people in order
to. Where did we get to the Ben Torah Mara being an addict?
Well, it's clearly the drunk. He is a glutton.
It was a translation of a word in the Rashi.
Okay, forget addicts. Right. People who exhibit behavior of gluttonous what? Excess. And in order to feed that behavior, they're willing to steal in order to do it, and they've been warned, and they do it again. You have 100 of those people. What? There's alcohol involved. So
yes, law enforcement. You arrest the guy and put him in jail. We're not saying let him go free and do whatever he likes. But
wait, where is there
really abuse? Dream to kill him before he's even done it.
But on the other side.
Wait, let's stop you there. Why is jail considered humane to you? To lock him up like an animal?
Because he's already done something. He hasn't done something.
A minute, lock him up. Can I answer that? Lock him up like an animal. Lock him up like an animal, and you pay for his well-being.
But he did something. He did already. Yeah, he didn't even do anything.
It's like a preemptive strike.
What's
a
preemptive strike?
Very good. Okay. That's fine.
The Torah is a blueprint of how we should feel in our lives. And therefore, we have to have in the blueprint how to deal with things, not only as consequential. Rules, that as rules to maintain society.
Let me continue. I want to continue the Mishnah I said. So that we have a number of different avenues. Laura, I'm going to... Your objections are totally legitimate. Ad kidei kach, Chazal, some Chazal agree with you. But we'll see. But then the question is, what do we do with it?
And what is the Torah talking about?
What is the Torah telling us to
do? I think that what Chazal are going to do is they're going to narrow the parameters so much.
Yes.
So that the... Right. In other words, they're going to take Laura's approach into account and narrow the parameters so much
that
it's so unlikely that anyone will actually fulfill those parameters that, like they do with
the... Does that make you feel better? No, really, does that make you feel better?
Well, what I'm saying is that Lechatchila, this is the blueprint, right? Meaning...
So does that make you feel better? So does that make you feel better? Right, because we're talking about the ideal world.
Yes, but in philosophically, not so.
Correct, so you have to still address the issue philosophically, yeah.
What I'm still stuck on is what Yisrael did the kid do?
He stole from his father.
That's it? That's Rashi. Meaning, it says that he ate and drank a lot, but there are no, as far as I know, there is no witness, and he doesn't listen to his father.
It is a Dash of Chazal. Chazal understand.
To say that a certain amount of meat is a certain Torah, to eat a certain amount.
No, it's not a certain Torah. Excellent question. No, that's not the Isra. According to...
The Isra is not the same.
So you're even happier saying that, let's say, he didn't violate any Isra. That's possible.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
It's possible.
Exactly. Personality.
But did he do anything to justify his own execution?
No.
So what's the difference if he violated an Isra or didn't violate an Isra?
Well, you have to know about it.
Makes you feel better. Because makes you feel better if he spoke Lashon Hara. You know what I'm saying?
Well, because we define what's right and wrong, presumably from the Torah.
Yes.
So if we heard that the boy went out and killed somebody, if it said ki harog hayel kino haben,
if he went out and killed somebody, I wouldn't need any. I wouldn't need the pasuk. You put him to death.
Okay, we understand that is a defined usurping from the Torah. But where does the
prohibition against eating meat.
There is no prohibition against eating. There is no. Yes. What?
Every holiday. Purim or Shabbos.
Well, no.
We don't. All the time.
We don't.
And only do it. Purim. That's it. Well, and not to be.
And we don't.
That you're violent.
People don't overeat.
That what?
We have a huge obesity problem in the world.
It's also true. It's not like I think. I mean, Rashi said. What?
Okay.
But,
this is going to play. I never thought about that one, but okay.
It's true.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We got to get some Seder here. This is like we're like out of control here, which is fine, but not so good.
I'm going to say that it gets to a point where your kids don't listen to you, they're behaving badly, and you want to kill them. Okay.
Yes. Point out something that you just said, which is also something important to be involved. What is the process of bringing this child to judgment? What happens? The kid, he steals from his father, he drinks, he starts with a hamburger. An innocent hamburger and a Chardonnay after dinner. And before you know it, he's eating asuado, like up the wazoo, and drinking, you know, just bad wine, bottles of bad wine, stealing from his parents, then what?
Who brings him to the parents?
The parents bring him to Beit Din. Who brings him to Beit Din? You said yourself?
Just the father.
Not just the father. The mother and the father bring him to Beit Din. And they warn him and they say to Beit Din, we don't know what to do with this child. We warned him and he doesn't listen to us. And then the community also brings him to be. The community also warns him. They give him malkut, and he goes back. And then, one second. And then, velo yishma alehem.
A minute.
And then the next pasuk, yutet.
Wait, it's iro and shar mekomo, which it says it twice. It seems redundant based on your love of redundancies in the Torah.
I love redundancies, yes.
I'm going to say that, go out on a limb and say, not just are they bringing him to Beit Din, they're bringing him to a Beit Din that ostensibly knows the family.
I don't know how likely that's an accurate drash, but okay.
Right, Iro, Shar Mekomo.
Then
Amru El Zignei Iro. It says it again.
Mm-hmm.
It knows the family. It's not in a vacuum.
Could be. Okay. Then what? Yotet b'tafsu bo aviv v'imo. His mother and his father have to let the tafsu grab him and bring him to Beit Din. So this is all the parents here are involved in every step of the process. A very simple question for you: the parents must, or they do?
They do.
Or they should?
They
wait,
they
must, should, do. Which one? Not even should? Not even should?
No. I think so.
Well, they add a
no, there is no other choice. It's not command is here. The end.
Understand that this is a that understand that in this whole process, the parents are playing not a pivotal role, the role. They're the ones that are motivating this whole process. They're the ones that are bringing this about. They're the ones that are bringing this out to Beit Din. They're the ones that are warning him.
They are the guardians of the child. They have to. They have an appraisal.
Yeah, I think it's true. Like, read the valid point. The issue
of
you said
you
know him.
Yeah, he can't be. According 13 to 13 and a quarter. Zero. That's it. Age of coming to age. Only coming to age. Yeah.
When your parents not have the ability to control their
children. Once he's above 13. Once he hits. He had to start before. No, no, wouldn't do that.
But I'm saying, like, If he's at that age,
he's already almost
passed their control.
Almost, right about.
Right at that last.
Correct, he's right at that point. Okay.
They lost chance.
Remember the whole thing about the time?
Let me just read you. This is our last Joshua. I'll read you another Mishnah.
No, listen. Oh, sorry. The difference is you have to. You're not going to have it for much longer.
Yeah, I know. Seriously.
Okay. The Ahavta versus the Ahavta.
Okay.
Remember that if the time Amikra is at the end, then it's a tzivoy, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so the Tamei Amikra here doesn't say b'tafsu, it's b'tafsu. So does that mean that it's not a command?
It would be really good if you had somebody who was an expert in biblical Hebrew here.
Who's
anybody?
Esther?
I don't know. I can't answer that question. That's like Dr. What's his name? That's Sokolow. You have to send Dr. Sokolow.
No, I have someone I work with. I'm going to ask.
Okay, fine. The halachot and if you look at the Mishnah, are very, very specific. Mishnah says. Okay. We just talked about this. We just talked about that. Okay. Eino naase achal kol ma'achal v'lo achal basar. If he ate pizza from here till tomorrow, falafel.
That would be okay.
No problem. Shata kol mashke. He drank anything. Kol mashke. Booze. V'lo shata yayin. Eino naase ben serer umareh. He's not a ben serer umareh until yochal basar v'yishte yayin. That's the rule.
What is this?
Mishnah Gimel. Ganav Mishel Aviv. Ve'achal b'shut Aviv. What if he stole from his father but ate at home? Or he stole from other people and ate from other people. He's eno chayav, he's not ben ser umareh. Ad shiyignov Mishel Aviv. Ve'yochal b'shut Rabim. B'shut Acherim. Okay? Haya Aviv rotzeh, ve'imo eno rotzeh. The father's like, I can't deal with this kid. Let's take him to Beit Din. And the mother's like, no. Or, Aviv eino rotze, v'imo rotze. Father doesn't want, and the mother does want. Eino nase ben sorer umare ad shiyu shnehem rotzim. They both have to want together. Rotze. What does it sound like?
Choice.
They don't have to. Let's look at Ramban.
Sacrifices?
Right, these are all great questions. Well, meat and wine is part of sacrifices? Fascinating.
That's what I'm asking. That he's not negating the.
I'm getting everything spiritual.
He's not an apikoros, exactly. He not sees that it's got no value.
Look at Ramban on Yurchet. Those of you who have Ramban. Those of you who have Ramban. Says Ramban. Ben Somer Morel. Aldad Rabotenu, the Chazal say, he no katan, he's not a minor. Shakatan, patur mikolon shin shem Torah, and Bala mitzvah. Katan is exempt from all of the mitzvot. Aval hu mevishte sarad. It's just when he's turning the age of, he's becoming mature. Hine yesh alav shnei onshin. There's two punishments. Echad, shehu makle aviv v'imo umamre bahem. Makle, He's cursing his mother and his father and rebelling against them.
But isn't that another, a different Isur?
He doesn't literally curse them, but he's rebelling against them. Vasheni. So the first thing, he's not listening to his parents. Okay? Eno shomea be'ekol aviv be'kol imo. His parents are saying X, and he's saying Y. Vasheni. And the second thing is, shehu zolel v'soveh. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Over al mashenit tavu, and that violates kedoshim tihiyu. So on the one hand, says Ramban, he's violating the commandment of his parents.
I was wondering if he was going to say kedoshim tihiyu, because he says on the words of kedoshim tihiyu that a person who takes kosher meat and drinks kosher wine, but more than he should be, is a naval v'rshut haTorah.
Right. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong technically. This is very similar to what Shira said. He didn't do anything technically wrong,
exactly,
but everything is wrong. You can have a person who, what did I do? I mean, like, you know, kids say that sometimes. But you didn't tell me exactly not to do A, B, C, D, E in this specific order. So I did A, C, B, D, E. You know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't violate the letter of the law. Says Ramban, correct. He didn't violate the letter of the law. But everything is screaming against that. V'ala klal. Basically, hold on. Ein bo atachet mavet. He's really not. He didn't do a sin that deserves execution. Val shem sofo hu nidon. But he's judged because of his end. V'zeh tam v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiran. That's why it says at the end, everyone should hear and be fearful. Ki lo hu mat begodel chet'o. He was not killed because of the greatness of his sin. Ela liyaser bo et harabim.
Use him as an example?
Yes. V'shalot yeh takala la'achirim. And he should also not be a michshol, he shouldn't be a stumbling block for other people. V'chein derech ha-katuv sh'yazhir ken kasher yamitu legader. There are some people who are punished in order to warn the rest of the community, in order to keep order. That they're not necessarily guilty of such a serious punishment in and of themselves, but there are times that you have to make an example of one person in order to maintain for the betterment of society. Now it's interesting. You say this person, is there a potential for him to do tshuva? So I saw an article, Elisha Avinir writes it. Of course there's a potential for him to do tshuva. So he says the following. He says, as a parent, or a person who's looking with compassion, we always look with a perspective of an optimist. Somebody who is engaged in the most depraved behavior, terrible behavior. So our optimism says, oh, look at his potential, maybe he'll be better. But what if that person presents a real danger to society? You know, and lo amen, parents who have children, we call them off the derech, you know, but parents who have children who are engaging in serious and dangerous behavior, they not only have to worry about that child, but sometimes the thing that concerns them, they love that child. But what is that child going to do to the rest of their children? You know, if this child is able to do X, Y, and Z, so the other kids come in and they see, and they say, Frank does that, why can't I do that? It's a problem that has to be addressed.
There are a lot of things you can do before kids.
Yes.
But you're supposed to do them.
A lot of things.
But you're supposed to do them. That's what it says. It says, V'yisruoto.
And V'yinenu shumbebeth. Oh, you give him
up. You have to punish him. You have to punish him and put him in line, discipline him, give him Musar. No, but you can explain it in so many different ways. It seems to me like this is all like so a last resort from the way it's written in Sukkim.
Can I ask you a question? Like today, also the idea we have to think about also the notion of respect and fear of parents. In the context of the Torah, I think is very foreign to us. There was a time, and it wasn't that long ago, when a father said something, you did it, and it wasn't just because you know I'm the
it
father.
Made sense. No, it was because I'm the father.
I mean, it wasn't just like you did it, like I'll decide to do it or not to do it.
Right.
You did it. There wasn't a question. Right, there was a reverence and an awe of a father, and there was a you know, there and that was that. What?
Reverence and authority.
Right, the idea of we talk about kaveret avicha, ishimo v'aviv tirau. We talk about them as like ideals, and it's nice, and we should educate our children to respect parents. These were bedrocks of society. And if you want to know about problems in society that we now experience, so many of them stem from this total abandonment of parental authority that no longer exists today. We try to convince our children to respect us, but we don't instill authority. We hope that they respect us. We have to earn their respect.
Even respect now is not the same as what it was.
No.
I mean, their respect now is once upon a time it was doing what they said.
Right, we see it in the movies. Where do we see in the movies? Like in the old Chinese movies. Where the father is commands, you know what I'm saying? You see it in old Ethiopian families today. Maybe. Maybe you see it in Sephardi families more than we see it here. That the father is the father, the grandfather is the grandfather, and you never, ever cross them. What's that? Yeah, when we're all messed up. Right, that's exactly right. So now all of a sudden a child comes and says, Dad, the hell with you. It is a danger to society. It is a societal ill. It literally is. Because when that becomes prevalent and the child does and flaunts and does what he wants and steals from his father and ignores his father, like, meaning, remember, you're thinking of the whole Ben Sorer Moreh in the context of the child that disobeys his father today, and I want to kill my kid. We say, I want to kill my kid, I want to kill him. We don't want to kill him, we speak that way, but it's not literally true. Because we never really expected him to do what we say anyway. We hope that when we ask him to do something, we've educated him. Correct. It's a different way of raising children. Is that the Torah's ideal of how we're supposed to raise a child? Absolutely not. Because we want to teach our children a lot of things, but we don't want them to. You know, nowadays we live in an age where whether our children will keep the values that we have or not is a matter of their choice, and we hope to convince them. We hope to raise them in such a way that they're going to want to do it. But that wasn't the idea. That wasn't the point. The point was, you're the Jewish people, you act like Jews, you raise your children to be Jews. No, no questions. That's just what it is.
It also said that this child is an example.
Right. That's what the Ramban says.
I think it's an example for other children.
100%.
If this child doesn't listen to the parents, then that child doesn't have to listen to
That's exactly the point. That's exactly what Ramban is saying. You know? Did this child do something that technically violates and deserves execution? No, he did not. But there are some times where a certain behavior can be dangerous to, in and of itself, is not necessarily extreme, but presents tremendous danger to society and to the other people around them, to everyone.
Well, and like the king has the right to kill somebody who's rebellious against the king.
Sure.
For the same reason.
Sure. Absolutely.
Even if they didn't do anything that wrong, just if they...
Murray bin Malchut, absolutely okay. Correct. Absolutely.
This kind of making an example does not always work, but sometimes backfires in a big way.
Like, in our society... Correct. Right. Absolutely correct. Nowadays,
they want to just dismantle the whole system of authority because it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right. I mean, it won't work.
Nowadays, it wouldn't work.
No.
Well.
Yeah. Wouldn't work.
It just because it goes against all our values.
Well, it wouldn't work because there's a way out. Because you have an exit. You can decide. But if you couldn't exit. Meaning the reason why we have to entice our children or convince them to choose is because if they don't choose, they have an option. Mm-hmm. They can go somewhere else. But there wasn't an option. But you know what I'm saying? It's everybody you know and it's everybody who knows you. And no one will stand for this kind of behavior because this is not the kind of society we're going to have. We're not having children behave in this way. And yes, even at the cost of making the ultimate sacrifice. Nachshoni talks about it. So the first thing I wrote is, it's a message about parenting. What parent would take their child to Beit Din in order to, and threaten them with execution? What parent would do that? Is the Torah saying that must, should, can? So all of you said can. I'm not sure I agree. Look at Rashi's last line that we read. Okay? Amrat Torah, the last line we read, in the end of Rashi on Yud Chet. Amrat Torah. Yamut Zakai ve'al Yamut Chayav. If you really think, if you believe, we try, and this kid isn't going to learn, and I don't think he's going to change. And we're not, you know, and like you said, in today's society, everyone can do tshuva, but we have this whole mechanism and this framework for people to rehabilitate them. They didn't have it. They wouldn't have it. They didn't have it. You understand what I'm saying? And what about the dangers and the costs to society of that framework and of the hope? See, what Rav Avinair writes is, it's great to have hope as an individual. But in society, you don't have the right to have hope for the future. Let's say somebody, you know, he commits a crime. And he says, oh, I'm really sorry, I'll never do it again. Well, we should always have compassion on him. Shouldn't we? Because
no,
he has hope for the future. I understand what you're saying. So Avinair says optimism is a wonderful thing, but when you build societies, you can't build that based on optimism. You have to be realistic.
The fact that he has a choice, or that it's just, he's like sort of sick, like an illness, that it's like a mental illness that he can't be cured.
Of course, he has a choice. Everyone has a choice. I don't think that's the question. The question is what are the probabilities? Nidon al shem sofo. Okay, the Gemara says it in a little bit more of an extensive way. Torah says yamut zakai va'al yamut chayav. It's better for him to die innocent. He didn't do it, but he's going to do it. Not 100%, good chance. What if it was 90%?
How do you evaluate
innocent of murder? He's done other people.
Shemitatam shel rishaim hana'a lahem v'hana'a la'olam.
Other things. Nothing.
That's the second lesson. The second lesson I want to point out is... One second. Hello. The second lesson I want to talk about is the value of life. In our society today, the ultimate value that's more important than anything else is life. And the Torah is saying that's not true. The ultimate value is meaningful life. Living a valuable life. And if you had to choose between living a valuable life, if you had to choose now between short life, but you don't mess it up, or long life, but a destructive life, we're doing you a favor. Have we? I'm sure we have. If you really knew that this person was leading a life of sin and was not going to rehabilitate himself, he says, I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. He says it himself. He admits it. I'm not going to get better. This is who I am. People say that, by the way.
Is there such a concept of jail in Judaism?
No, not long-term jail. Very short-term. Absolutely not. Derech Agav, by the way.
Prostitutes in the world, and he was just like the low of the low.
Yeah, there was a chadev, right.
I mean, he was like the most debased, disgusting, and he was exciting.
There are unique examples.
But also, some of the things in that.
Just from what we know of, I don't really know. But from what we know of people who engage in serious, dangerous crime, right, what percentage of them, first of all, putting them in jail, what does putting them in jail do? It encourages them, it keeps them with all the other people that are like them, okay? So everybody thinks... So, jail is not rehabilitative. How do we rehabilitate criminals, by the way? How do we rehabilitate, according to the Torah? What do you do for someone who's a... How do you punish them? No. Somebody's a criminal and he can't pay back. What do we do? No.
Oh, he becomes a slave.
We send him to slavery. Right. He has to rehabilitate himself. He works with his own way.
About how to treat him.
Correct. I didn't talk about this. I remember I told you I was going to talk about the Goel Adam, the blood avenger. Right? Our justice system is so unjust and it doesn't rehabilitate people. What are the odds? Somebody can find it on the internet. The odds of dangerous criminals really truly rehabilitating themselves. And I guarantee you it's extremely low. It's extremely low. There's a pathology. It's not necessarily mental illness. I'm not saying they're mentally ill, but there's a pathology there. There's an ITA. There's an inclination. And it's sad. It's tragic. But there are people like this. And who suffers in the end? When we put this guy on furlough and we let him go because we either can't house him anymore or because he did his time, who suffers? Terrific. So we take terrorists and we house them. One second. Oh, now that there's somebody else's country that's bad. We take it, we house them, and we keep them until we went, and then we give them, let them go. What?
Before just executing them all. And if they've done something,
they're in jail for a reason.
You haven't done it.
Anyway. Okay. The value, we have to talk about the value of life. The value, the Torah says quite clearly, this message is critically important. that life isn't the ultimate value. Valuable life, positive life is the ultimate value. This Rashi is, I believe, absolutely true. Amar Torah, Yamut Zakai Va'al Yamut Chayav. We believe that it's better for a person to, God forbid, die young, innocent, rather than live a long, successful life of sin and gluttony. Because in the end, he's going to get to Shemayim, and ultimately, we didn't do him any favors. We didn't do him any favors. We're not talking about doing shtuyot. It's symbolic of, a large, that's what I tried to say. It's violating the words of the parents, ignoring them, committing serious crime. We're not talking about doing shtuyot, committing serious crime, being warned about it, and being unable to change, and doing it again. You don't just kill him. Then you kill him, and make an example of him for everybody else to see that we can't tolerate this in our community. Wait. Yeah.
The afterlife can harbor is the worst things to come. Our derivation of comparison and the pre-blessing that we completely lack the self-great necessary, the Jewish holiness to develop it, and a refusal to behave in a way that brings closeness to God.
Not a good person. The question is, does it justify execution?
Says the Gemara. Okay, I'm not going to make you feel better. Titania, I'm a Rabbi Shimon. Okay, she's articulating a view in Chazal. Amar Rabbi Shimon, v'chim mipnei she'achal zeh tartemer basar v'shati chatzilo yayin avi v'imom motzino tzalko. Because this kid drank a lot of wine and ate a bunch of meat, his parents are going to take him out to be killed. Ela lo haya v'lo atid lehiyot. Never happened, never going to happen. V'lama nichtav, why is it written? Drosh v'kabel sachar. Here's a mitzvah in the Torah that the Torah gave you. Study it and receive reward. Now obviously, what's the meaning? He said, never happened. I can't imagine it ever will happen. But you have to study and receive reward. Study it for what reason? Receive reward. What second? The Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Yonatan. Rabbi Yonatan says, Ani re'itiv v'yashavti al kivro. And I sat on his grave. Not only, it's a fascinating machloket. Rav Shimon says, never happened. Rav Yonatan says, it happened and I saw it happen. What's Rav Shimon's position? No, you didn't. What?
Response?
Very strange. I don't know.
What is this?
But this is the machloket. How is it possible? What are we supposed to learn? The last thing we're going to do is the Kliyakar. It says Kliyakar. Okay. It's a message not just for... So we talked about the idea of parenting. The idea that a parent... And I think this is something that's important for us. To point out this idea that we live in a time where we feel, at times, that we have to convince our children as opposed to parent them. Right? And here the Torah is giving an example. How often do we see examples of parenting in the Torah? Very rare. This is one of the very, very rare examples. V'yisru oto lo yishma alehem. The job of a parent isn't to cajole and to convince. We want our children to be happy. Of course we want them to be happy. Sometimes the job is v'yisru'oto, to do what's best for the child, to sacrifice the child. So loving a child isn't necessarily giving him what he wants, but giving him what's best for him, ultimately in the end. The child wants the meat, he wants the wine. And the answer has to be no. That's not good for you. We don't believe in that. Wait, one at a time. Yeah. Sorry, you're
Hoover. A teenager is like 100 years old. There were no teenagers. People went straight from working on a farm when they were three. Through the
correct. There was no teenagers. Absolutely.
When they were 14,
100%.
And that's worldwide. That's not Jewish. I'm saying there was no extra money and free time to be a teenager. Right. So
who says that's a good thing? And today,
like teenage kids now have time to do shiur because they have no responsibility that they're going to school, which is like.
It's good for them, but it's there are positives and negatives.
Running a household, like where people worked from sun up to sundown, that was all they had. There was no time or energy for anything else.
Liz, you were saying?
I'm saying this is someone who should be productive and part of society
Obviously, so the challenge is, how do we translate this message? I mean, obviously, I'm not encouraging you to go and take your children to Beit Din and have them stoned. But the challenge then is, every single one of us finds ourselves confronting with these situations of, I want to give them what they want because I want them to be happy. But is my desire to keep them happy and give them what they want counterproductive in the end? That's a choice. It's a struggle that every parent deals with all the time. Yeah.
As parents, we also
In my experience, too many parents take the easy... Too many parents, and nobody here, of course, God forbid, but nobody. But too many parents... We do want to give them what they want because it's the easier thing because all their friends are doing it, even though none of their friends are doing it. You know what I'm saying?
That's also very modern.
What?
People choose their battles. Like, you'll be more lenient to one thing, but less lenient to another.
Oh, that's correct.
People choose not to have any battles.
Parenting is... the language... All I want to point out is in the Torah, the language of the parent is v'yisruoto. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable. Nobody likes doing it. The job of a parent is to be the bad guy. That's what it is. That, you know, nowhere in the Torah does it say give your kids whatever they want. It doesn't say that anywhere. Anyway, last thing we're going to do is Kli Yakar. Kli Yakar, one is about this whole thing. He says, if it never happened, what does it mean? V'chol Yisrael Yishmu V'yirahu. I just read it. It's not so long. Amar Razal. Ben Sar, I'm in Kli Yakar and Yulchet. Ben Sar Amar Elo Hayav Elo Yeh. Never happened. Lama Nichta B'Torah Elo Drosh V'Kabel Sechar. Study it and receive reward. U'mikol Makom Chal Aleinu Chuvat Biyur Davar Zeh. We have to understand it. Why is it written? Lama katva Torah davar she'ino nimsa bichlal. Why is it written at all if it's not relevant? If it's not relevant, never happened. What are we supposed to study? Okay, 1 second. So he says one reason is for the children. That the children, the appeal ema, so the children should be afraid. And the parents have to, you know, have to smack them. He says, but if that's true, why doesn't it say v'chol habanim yishmu v'yirahu? All the sons have to listen. Why doesn't it b'chol Yisrael? So I'm skipping to Shin Sadi Hei. See, look at the left column, second line. Va'ani Omer. Skipping a little bit, he says, Va'ani Omer. She'ein sorich bazeh. Ki gam mipshuta shel ha'parasha. You don't need other like explanations of all of the children. Yesh musar nifla shekol Yisrael. There's a great musar for all of Israel. Shinikru banim le'el chai. What do we say? Banim Hashem atem la'Hashem alokecha. You are children of God. Yesh lachush, you have to be concerned. She yismuchu al zeh, so we rely on this. V'yomru, we will say, me'achar she'anachlu banav, since we are the children of God, we're His sons. V'adai im yubanim sorerim, lo yabid avin v'yirachem alenu, k'rachem avabanim. What do we say? Im kevanim, im ke'avadim. We say this exactly what we say, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Im kevanim, if we look at us like children, rachameinu k'rachem avabanim. So, just like all parents, we're his child. He's going to have compassion upon us. Okay? Therefore, v'chein amar Moshe, banav mumam, that you are rebellious children. Ratzalomar mashakrim banav zehu mumam, our blemishes that we think that we're children. So, dad, come on. He'll always forgive us. Okay, I'm skipping a bit. Katva tarasha din din emet. The din is of truth. Sh'afilu ha'av chayav lahaviyet b'no. The Beitin Ulumosra Lemita. Sometimes a father has to do what's right and give over his child the Mita. Va'al Yedeze Yishmu Parsha Zo Kol Yisrael. So because, and through this, all of Israel should hear and should know that their father, Avinu Shebashamayim, as much as he wants to forgive us sometimes, doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes the father has to give us the punishment that we deserve. So we talked about value of life, we talked about parenting. But we just started Elul. And we want to be better parents. We want to be better people. But we also have to start thinking about the past year and asking ourselves, are we always, you know, optimists about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me? Or have I been the rebellious child? And it's up to us to come to the right conclusion and to make the right choices. And to start thinking about Rosh Hashanah and the process of changing the way we behaved over the past year so that when we come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He looks at us as a father like a child, we're not asking for forgiveness only, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and hopefully will look down on us and say, oh, those are my children. We'll stop here.